Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 18, verse 19. Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come into your presence and just meditate upon who you are and upon your love for us. And we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Speak into our hearts, and I humble myself before you. Pray that you'll use me to speak your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So our passage today says, He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I want to focus on the last part. He rescued me because he delighted in me. This morning, as you come to church and as you begin your day, how many of you feel, can say this verse over yourself, you know? God will rescue me, or God will be with me because he delights in me. I think just every once in a while, I think it's good to come back to this concept. Come back to this message and to remind ourselves that that Father God, he is a good father, and that he is pleased with us, right? That we're not trying to earn his approval, we're not trying to earn his pleasure, we're not trying to prove something to him, but that he's already pleased and he's already delighted with us, that he already rejoices over us. I remember, I think it was in an EG class or a GIC class that I did with Pastor Sam a long time ago. If you've done EG, he might have done this with you, where Pastor Sam will ask you basically to rate yourself as a Christian, or something like that. Like if God, or if you were to rate yourself, like 1 through 10, 10 is really good, 1 is like a really bad Christian, or something like that. And when the question was asked, everybody always rates themselves conservatively, right? They don't want to, no one ever goes for the 10. No one ever says, yeah, I think I'm a 10 before God. People, if they're, like for me, I grew up in the church, never really rebelled, always came to church, I gave myself a 7, I think. I was like, yeah, probably a 7. Yeah, I'm definitely not a 10. You know, just always thinking like there's something that is lacking. People will rate themselves lower. And P. Sam, at the end, will always say, I'm a 10. I think I'm a 10. Because basically he's saying, because God sees me, not for who I am, but he sees me under the covering, under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he's not a 10 because he somehow managed to be perfect, but he's a 10 because he's perfect under the sacrifice and the work and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was imputed to us. He kind of talked about that last Sunday. And I remember another thing, another exercise that we did, I don't even know where, I don't know if it was house church or one of the discipleship classes, but the question was posed, if Jesus were here right now and he could only say one thing to you, what would he say to you? I think maybe it was at house church. So if Jesus were here and he just wanted to say one thing to you, what would he say? And I think maybe I might have asked the question. It must be house church because I think I was leading this. And in my head, I thought the discussion and the stuff we're talking about was leading people to say, yeah, if Jesus were here, he would say, I love you, my daughter. I love you, my child. Or something like that. I was thinking, that's where we're going. And I was surprised to hear so many people say, oh, if Jesus were here, he would probably say, like, you should pray more. You know, if Jesus were here, and the one thing he was saying, like, I think you should evangelize more, or you should do this more, and you should do that more. And I was shocked to see, oh man, so many of us, when we think about this idea of how does God feel about me, or how does God see me, we tend to think he's probably disappointed in some way, right? He's probably unhappy about something, right? He wants us to be different. There's a verse in Luke 15. You don't have to turn there, but it's the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And in Luke 15, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And in verse 10, at the end of the parable of the lost coin, Jesus says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Jesus talks about this great joy that erupts in heaven when a sinner comes to faith, right? When a sinner repents and comes to Jesus Christ. So we know that all of us, because you're all sinners at one point, and you repented, and you came to Jesus Christ, and there was great rejoicing in heaven. And Jesus and the angels and the Father God was like, wow, I'm so happy that he is in the kingdom. And then now are we to think that since we have become Christians, that God no longer is rejoicing over us, but now he's thinking, well, come on. Can't you do a little better? Can't you just do this right? Are we to think that? I went to a service. It was a Father Hart service a long, long time ago. Father Hart is an organization that really focuses on the love of the Father. And he gave this great illustration. He says, when somebody becomes a Christian, he gave this illustration of someone that had a lot of burdens, right? Because he was carrying all his sin, all his shame, and all this stuff. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you got freed of all that burden. You're freed of all that weight, and you experience this joy and this freedom and this lightness in heart. But then he was doing it with a good heart. So please don't take it the wrong way. But he said, oftentimes what happens is once that person becomes a Christian and he starts coming to church, and so he had a volunteer come forward, and this person was free, and he was rejoicing, and he was happy. And then he started talking about how what happens at church oftentimes is once they become a Christian, now we tell them, and he grabbed like a heavy backpack, and he put it on the person, and he said, now we tell them, you need to, pray every day, right? And then, boom, another, like, weight. And then he grabbed another something. It was like a music stand or something, and he gave it upon this person. He said, and now that you're a Christian, now you need to evangelize to all your friends. And then, boom, there was another weight that he had to carry. And then picked up something else, and he gave it to him, and now you have to, don't take it the wrong way, right? But now you have to go to house church every day or every week. And then there's another weight that gets carried or added. And no longer was this person free and walking in the joy of the Lord. He was burdened again. But now with what we deem it's like the good thing to do, but it became kind of a burden and a weight for that person. And again, don't take it in a bad way. It's good to go to house church, right? It's good to pray every day. It's good to read the Bible every day. But maybe not if it becomes something where it just weighs you down, and it becomes a burden to you, and it can happen when you're at church for a long time. I grew up in the church, and so for a long, long, long time, quiet time was a burden to me. I just didn't want to do it, but I felt like I had to do it, so I constantly felt guilty. Every day I felt guilty. I just felt guilty before God all the time. And then I think, I don't know if someone said it to me or I said it to myself, I said, I'm not going to do my quiet time anymore. I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I don't think God cares. And I think it's true. I don't think God really cares. There's nowhere in the scripture that where God says, you need to do your quiet time every day or I will be upset with you. Right? But I just put that on myself because of what I've heard. And now I do my quiet time every day because I love it and I want to. That's where we want to get to. But I think if some of us are struggling with it, it's okay. I think it's just the guilt and the feeling so weighed down and feeling so guilty, feeling like we're always not good enough for Him, that I just want to come against that. And we need to come back to the simple truth that God is pleased with us. Two retreats ago, so not last year's retreat, but the year before when Pastor Benjamin was here, we had our retreat in Hong Kong. To me, I think it was the best, most well-communicated message of God's love to His children, right? That our identity in Him is to be the object of His affection, right? That we are moving from the place of the well-pleased to the well-done, right? Meaning we start off when we become a Christian with Father God's words over us that we are well-pleasing to Him. And then this life is basically, we're in this in-between place, and at the end of this life, we're going to hear from the Father, the well-done, my good and faithful servant. And so we're in this place of the well-pleased and the well-done, but so many of us feel like we are trying to hear from the Father, trying to make sure that we hear from the Father that I'm pleased with you, when He's already pleased with us, when He's already delighting over us. There's other passages that's famous. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but He will rejoice over you with singing. Isaiah 62, verse 5. That verse is etched on our wedding ring, but it says, mine and my wife, our wedding ring, but it says, as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And if any of you were at my wedding, you know that I was rejoicing over my wife, right? I was rejoicing in tears over my wife. It was a very weepy wedding. But just imagine that. I mean, imagine the joy that a bridegroom has over his bride. And that's the metaphor that God uses to say, this is how I feel about you. I'm excited and I'm passionately in love with you. Yeah. So sometimes what I do is we sing these worship songs. Even just now, the song that was playing was, Jesus, we love you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Sometimes I reverse sing these songs as if God were singing them over me, right? And God is saying to me, you are the one. Maybe He can still say "are" because He's Trinity, right? So, you are the one our hearts adore, and He sings that over me. I think it's good for you to kind of just good for us to meditate upon that. And it's not, we're not being presumptuous. Well, I hope not. But in 1 John chapter 3, Jesus says, behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we would be called the children of God. With all our imagination, probably can't compete or compare with the actual love that He has for us, Right? Jesus prays in John, I think it's John 17, when Jesus prays for his disciples, he says, God, I pray that, I'm butchering it, but something to the idea is the same love that Father God has over Jesus is the love that Father God has over us. So again, I don't think we can be too presumptuous in thinking or imagining the love of the Father over us. I remember ministering at YWAM last year. I had this opportunity to speak on our identity in Him, and I was talking about the pleasure of God. And one time we were doing ministry time, and I was leading worship while doing some ministry, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to sing, you know, that song, Good, Good Father. And then in the bridge, it goes, you're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of it. And I felt like God wanted me to sing that over this sister as if God was singing that to her, right? That you are perfect in all of your ways. And she's one that she grew up, you know, feeling like she was, there was something wrong with her. You know, she always saw herself as this damaged gem, you know. But it's not just her, you know, it's all of us. It's all of us. And God's saying, you're perfect in all of your ways. Everything that you do right now, this morning, this very present morning, Father God is pleased with you. And Father God is saying, I'm at a delight over you. I'm rejoicing over you right now with singing, whether you feel it or not. I know that my wife is always delighted with me. I don't always know it. I don't always feel it. But I'm secure when I go home, when I see her and be with her. I can be myself because I'm confident with her. And the same way, Father God is delighted over you, and we can be confident and secure in Him. So Pastor Andrew is going to sing us a song, and let's just meditate upon that. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about His love for us.
judgment waits for dawn. Here I finally found the place where we'll meet, Lord, face to face. I finally found where I belong. I finally found where I belong in your presence. I finally found where I belong to be with you, to be with you.
Let's just go before God. Let's just sing that line one more time. Delight in me.
Delight in me. Delight in me. Delight in me. Delight. Delight. Delight in me. Delight in me. In me, oh.
Thank you, God. Mike Bickle from IHOP, he explains, he differentiates between like a rebellious heart, right? Direct rebellion against God, choosing to not follow Him and choosing to disobey Him, versus a heart that is sincere in its love, but we are immature in our love, and so we make mistakes. We disobey, and we choose wrong, and we make mistakes, and we fail, but we have a sincere love, right? A sincere but immature love is different from a rebellious heart that chooses to disobey God, that chooses to walk away from God. And Father God knows the difference, right? Father God is still delighted with a sincere but immature love. Of course, we want to be sincere and mature in our love, right? We want to be sincere in our love and mature in our love, that we walk in obedience and we walk in fullness. But when we're not there yet, but we still have this sincere longing to obey Him and sincere longing and desire to follow Him, but we fail, He's still delighted with our heart. And so I think many of us are in that camp, you know, sincere but immature love. So Father God, I thank You. Thank You that You delight over us. You rejoice over us. Father God, we probably can't imagine, God. We can't imagine the width, the height, the depth, the length of Your love for us. So I pray, as Paul prayed, that You would strengthen us, that You would help us to know the, how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we'll be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Lord, reveal that love, the love of God. Reveal that love to us, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those that are sick, going through cancer. Let's just pray for God's power, God's healing. Let's also pray for God's comfort in this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are ill but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray for just divine appointments that we'll be able to share Christ with them, and that God Himself would reveal Himself to our friends on this list. Let's pray together. Go to the next slide. Let's pray for those that are just dealing with various infirmities. I think Monica is okay. We could probably remove that one. She's recovered. So thank you for praying for her. Joel still got the lump, so we can still pray. But let's pray. Let's pray for just healing and for strength for those that are struggling with various infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray for Yeah, just God's presence over them, that they will not feel discouraged in this time, that they'll be able to use their time wisely. And let's pray for favor and direction, guidance for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government here. Let's pray for the churches and all the different ministries that are listed there. And let's pray for the young people of Hong Kong, the students, high school and college, that feel so much pressure that sometimes, or too many times, they take their own life. So let's pray for. Let's pray against that. And let's pray that they'll be able to find hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for Pastor Sam. He's not feeling well. He was sick on Sunday, right? He caught a cold in Singapore, so he's still resting. So let's pray for healing for him, strength for him. And just pray for us to be united and for us to work hard and to be inspired and be anointed and be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the hospitality ministry, welcoming team, and barista. Let's pray for all the the servants. Let's pray for all the leaders, that it will be just a very fruitful and anointed ministry. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship team, sound and AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship, a pursuit of excellence, and that our worship on Sunday would be an overflow of our worship throughout the week. So let's pray for the worship team. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Pray for each house church to really have a wonderful time. Let's pray for just manifest presence of God in these meetings. Pray for the leaders, for anointing. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much. Today, I pray that we would be able to, just throughout this day, help us, just remind us, God, of the passages we read today about your delight over us, your rejoicing over us, your pleasure over us. And I pray that eventually this truth, it will just bring us to our knees, that we would be so humbled and so grateful and so moved by your love and your delight and your pleasure over us, God, that we would be transformed from the inside out, God. So I just pray that blessing over each person here, and thank you that you are with us right now, and you'll be with us throughout this day. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.